Hello, this is Shane Phillips, co-host of the Relatable Finance Podcast and financial planner with Providence Wealth Advisors, located here in sunny South Florida. We have a great guest today, Realtor Johnny Quintana. I've known Johnny for years and have always enjoyed his insight into the local real estate market, and was really looking forward to our chat as the market has been very interesting as of late for numerous reasons, all of which we'll get into today. Thank you for joining us, Johnny.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you having me on the show. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Johnny, let's just start out with, for those who don't know you or know what you do, if you don't mind, just explaining to everyone who you are and what it is you do exactly.
Yeah. So I had an interesting start in the real estate world because my whole family was in real estate. So from a really young age, I was 15, 16 years old, and I wanted to get my first job real bad. And so my sister, which is still my sister and my brother-in-law, are still our broker. So we still have a family business that's been owned and running for about 15 years. And she gave me that opportunity to kind of, you know, dip my foot in doing different things in the real estate world. And it took off since then. You know, I got my license. It's been 8 years now. And recently my wife joined, not recently, actually, it's been 4 years since we've been working together. Feels like yesterday, but so yeah, here I am.
All right. So part of the family business and making it even more of a family business. And in terms of the kind of the day to day, we're talking about buying, renting condos, houses, kind of anything out there more on the personal side, though, nothing commercial or anything like that. Correct.
Right. Yeah. So early on in my career, the first few years, I kind of just tried to do a little bit of everything. So, you know, remembering the time that I joined real estate, it was right after the recession. So about 50% of agents had quit. That's when I started. And it was tough, obviously, you know? And so we started off with a lot of rentals because everybody was gearing towards that. Like, not a lot of people had money, you know, at least the people that I was representing, right? Because I'm just starting off. And so we helped so many people find rentals. And that eventually transitioned into 2, 3, 4 years later. Hey, man, now I got a good job. Now we're more stable. We want to purchase something. And so naturally, I guess, you know, we went into that helping buyers, and then they needed to sell, and then they needed to buy an investment. And so really, we've always stayed on that residential path because of that. And yeah, we don't do much commercial real estate at all. I like to, whenever I have somebody that's interested, we have a select few realtors that we refer them to.
Nice. Yeah. And yeah, like you said, it makes sense. You get somebody, you rent them a place, you find them a rental, and then they buy, and then they're looking to sell, and it's kind of just keeps on going on in a circle.
Yeah, pretty much, man.
That's how it's been with us, so it makes sense. So one thing that Johnny does a good job of that we try to do on Relatable Finance is just to educate, you know, our clientele or the general population about exactly what it is we do. So it's great, Johnny, being with us today to provide some of that expertise. So really, the first question I have, and this is kind of my question for everyone I see out there, is how has things changed for your day-to-day or your profession because of COVID?
So it's definitely been different on the showing end. We've always had a home office because I feel like it's the best way for me to work. I just wake up, you know, have my coffee, get into the office, and I feel like I have a better control of my day. But as far as the showing side, it's been like a huge transition.
Sure.
Mostly, you know, we want to take precautions to protect our clients and to protect myself and our family, obviously. And so we have to wear a mask, obviously, you know. But I think the biggest difference has been with buildings not allowing showings.
Sure.
That's been very difficult. And obviously, we'll get into the condo market later. I'm sure you'll ask me about that. But buildings have been a little bit difficult when you're showing single family homes or multifamily. That's a little bit easier. So I could just go in, I can open the door, let the client roam, especially if it's vacant. You know, they'll ask me any questions. I close up, we go in separate vehicles. So things like that, that's definitely changed the way that we do business. Obviously you're not signing things on paper anymore. Mm-hmm. Everything is DocuSign, DotLoop, you know, things of that nature.
Which is interesting from that perspective. That's changed in our industry as well because of all of this. And I think it's going to be great going forward that we don't have paper everywhere and you're not carrying stuff in your backpack or whatever the case is. I mean, DocuSign is so nice and easy. But to your point about showing places, I mean, just my experience in my building, I mean, the security has become real. I mean, actually needing key cards to get everywhere, you know, limits in the elevator. So yeah, I'm sure that has been definitely an area that has changed. And like you said, for the better. Keeping everyone safe, so that's good. Another area that we talk a lot about on the podcast and with clients is interest rates. And this has been something, I mean, it's been years now where we're talking about very low interest rate environment. Interest rates obviously affect real estate, but now, currently, we're in really a historic interest rate environment. And I know I saw the 30-year fixed rate mortgage is below 3% for the first time ever on average, that is, which is just crazy. How have you seen this kind of affect you and your clients, or how do you think this is going to play out as it goes on a little bit longer?
I think it's one of the reasons that the real estate market is alive right now. Mm-hmm. The economy in general is sustained a lot through first-time home buyers, being able to purchase from people that have owned properties for multiple years, decades. And that historically low number, even though, you know, unemployment rates have gone up and obviously the pandemic going on, people see those low interest rates and it makes them think, man, I should go out and purchase a property. You know, I should do it now.
Myself included. So.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's great. Right now it's under 3% on average, which is pretty amazing. And if you do the calculation, I mean, I encourage you to go on Google and go on like bankrate.com or, you know, the Google mortgage calculator and type in those different interest rates, just because a lot of people don't understand what a big difference that 1% or 1.5% difference makes. I mean, we were, you know, 3-4 years ago in the fours. Not even 2 years ago, like 4.0, 4.5, type in that difference on the mortgage calculator and you'll see it'll be a few $100s yeah. every single month that you're going to be saving on your mortgage.
For potentially 30 years. So yeah,
exactly.
It definitely adds up. Yeah, I mean, I've mentioned the low interest rate environment from an investing perspective to clients, even some colleagues. Mm-hmm. And I've mentioned about mortgage rates and I got one colleague called me immediately after I said it on internal call and asked me, you know, well, what does this mean exactly? Like, do I need to go refinance? And it's really an interesting time. And it, like you said, it's propped up the market in your opinion. I mean, I would agree with you because of that cheap money. I mean, if you can just get into what you have been seeing, you know, recently with the market, I know it's been pretty good, but I know you know a lot more about that.
Yeah, the market has been pretty much an absolute roller coaster from since the time the pandemic kind of hit us here in Florida or the US in general. So March was probably when we started seeing it, but March was still kind of okay. April and May were like historic lows. Sure. I think April in some statistics, you know, without getting into too many specifics, pending sales, I believe was one of those, and closed sales, especially for condos, was the lowest it's been since our recession. Yeah. The recent recession, 2008. And what we've seen, and the market report just came out like 2-3 days ago for June, was that there was a huge rebound, finally. And so part of the reason that that happened was because of the low mortgage rates. I think that plays half the role in mm-hmm. why we had that huge upswing. But also, just because so many buyers were waiting to pull the trigger in March, April, but they were scared.
Yeah.
And even in May, because am I going to have my job? Am I going to be furloughed? What's going to happen? And then finally they felt like, all right, June is that time. Like I still have my job, my family secure. I still have this saved up money. Let's do it. And yeah. So all of that demand kind of just went into the month of June. And I think that's going to continue into the summer, into July and August, which is a great thing for the market,
yeah,
at least for the next few months.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's myself thinking about buying for probably the first time ever. I have numerous friends looking to buy who have never bought in the past. So just that small sample set, I would think that would be spread out further and further. So makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So you mentioned that when you got started in the business, I mean, kind of goes hand in hand with when I moved to South Florida back in 2013. So where I live in Brickell, I mean, it's night and day difference. I mean, buildings are going up constantly. So what is, I mean, just give us your kind of history on what you've seen change really over your time in the profession, because of all the building, not only in, you know, Miami downtown where I'm at, really in South Florida in general.
Yeah, so I think what South Florida is severely underpriced, it's my opinion, because it's such a beautiful place to live. When you think of, you know, a bigger city living, say New York or San Francisco, right? Certain parts of California, the immediate thing that you can think of is I can't afford to live there, right? For a lot of people, that's true. But Miami is still one of those places, granted, based on the average salary here, that needs some improvement, you know, but that's another discussion. However, as far as real estate goes, in comparison to other big cities, Miami's has great prices. And one of the things I've seen throughout the years is the mentality shift of 2014-15, the market was starting to go back up and people felt like those prices were inflated. And here we are, and the prices have gone up 25-30% since then.
From there,
you know? And so if you would have purchased back then, you would have so much more equity, you know, when you thought that the market was inflated. So understanding, I think, from a US standpoint, instead of just looking at the local market, true, my family purchased in 1970 something in Miami for, you know, like $20,000.
Sure.
And yeah, so obviously there's been inflation, but I think the market for South Florida in general, being such a beautiful place to live and awesome weather, and awesome people and a cultural melting pot, I think that the prices will continue to rise. Obviously we're going to have, you know, a little bit of a dip coming, but because of the pandemic, especially if there's a second wave, but I honestly think that we're still underpriced.
Yeah, no. And it's interesting from that perspective, because a question I keep getting from clients, I hear it on investment calls about investing in real estate, is with kind of this current transition, which you said you've been working from home. I've been now working from home for 4 months, 5 months now. But the effect that a potential future of more people working from home and not working in, you know, big office buildings and downtowns, if that's going to have a big change of people, you know, flooding the suburbs and all those downtown condos just becoming vacant. So I've heard a lot of different opinions. I'm sure you have your own. What do you think about that kind of possible future trend?
So that's interesting. I actually heard something about certain shopping malls being transitioned into apartment buildings.
Yeah.
I read an article about that. That kind of blew my mind. I never thought of that, but it's a possibility, you know, with retail brick and mortar businesses kind of transitioning into maybe just warehouses selling full online, things like that could happen. I have seen that, you know, certain people may be moving out of the bigger cities, right? Or Brickell, downtown Miami, things like that. But for the most part, I think prices are still reasonable enough that people are staying. In fact, they're looking for, from at least my opinion, and what I've seen with our clients is they want to get a one bedroom with a den because they need an office. They want to transition from a one bedroom to a two bedroom, which when you think about it, either in a mortgage or for rent, it's only going to be like $300, $400 more a month. It's going to be way cheaper than having an actual office somewhere else. So I think that's a good investment. And I've also seen here and there people transitioning from New York quite a bit recently. And the prices here are so much better that to them, it's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Their businesses have given them the opportunity to work from wherever they live. It doesn't matter the state or the city. And so they've been taking advantage of that opportunity and coming down here.
Yeah. I mean, it's back again to the weather. I mean, if you're going to be working inside and being able to leave at night, do you want to walk out, you know, and see the ocean and the beach, or
exactly
brick and mortar? And I'm definitely one of those, again, in the market for probably a two bedroom, because working off my kitchen table is getting very old at this point in my one bedroom. Lastly, and then this is where I'm just looking for some words of wisdom from you in terms of somebody out there looking to rent or looking to buy. Is there, you know, a tip or a couple of tips that just come to mind to watch out for or look for an opportunity? Just your general knowledge of what you do.
Yeah, 100%. I can think of so many things that you can keep in mind. As a matter of fact, we're going to do, we're brainstorming this week. We're going to put together kind of a simple video of, you know, just friendly reminders of things that you should keep in mind when you're buying or when you're renting. I think, you're so concerned with finding the right place at the right price, you just kind of forget everything else.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I see is, you know, 7 months, a year later, is issues where, say you're renting, an issue arises with the security deposit or maintenance. You never read that when you signed your lease. You just kind of signed it because you were so excited. You're like, price is right, let's do it.
Yeah.
But then I get a call like, hey, you know, what do you think? I'm in this situation. I was like, hey, it's in your lease. Like, here you go, man. You know, I'll help you. So that's one of the things, is reading your lease carefully, all the other clauses, even if you need a friend or an attorney to help, I think it's worth it. The other thing is, before you move into your rental, I think that it's really important that you do a full video of everything so you can actually see the condition, take a bunch of pictures. And I'll do that for you, mm-hmm. you know, if we're representing you as our client, because that helps a year from now remember how things actually were, so you're not blamed for things that were there when you moved in. And then on the buying side, I think it's really important that you calculate, not only, you know, people get excited because FHA loans are 3.5% down, but don't forget that closing costs could be about 3% too. So make sure that you save that extra money. Make sure that when you're calculating your costs, you go through a mortgage broker, find somebody that you trust, get pre-approved, you know, understand that you have to calculate how much your taxes are going to be, how much your insurance cost is going to be. Unfortunately, hurricane state, you know, Florida, insurance is going to be a little bit more, right? For if you have a house, and obviously how much your mortgage is going to be with those low interest rates. So I think doing that calculation up front is going to help you understand what you can actually afford. So this is just some things that come to mind that'll help buyers or people that are looking to rent.
Yeah, I mean, I would say in general, I mean, both of those different ideas just basically, I mean, you know, before you jump into anything, maybe just take a second to think through some of these things or read the actual lease, which I'm not sure I've ever done, full disclosure. Right. But it's taking a little more time up front. It is a bigger decision, especially buying, obviously. So take the time to figure out what that actually is going to mean, you know, past, you know, the first week when you're so excited to move in. So exactly. Great. Well, Johnny, thank you very much for being a guest on Relatable Finance. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Shane. I appreciate the opportunity, man. And I love working with you. And it's fun. It's fun to talk about real estate, what's going to happen in the next few months, the next few years, you know, so hopefully we can do this again soon.
Perfect. It's definitely always changing. That's for sure. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Relatable Finance. If you have any questions for me, please email me at podcast@provwealth.com. If you have any questions for Johnny, you can reach out to him directly at RealtorJohnny, spelled J-O-N-N-Y, @gmail.com.
Provenance Wealth Advisors is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Provenance Wealth Advisors and Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Any opinions are those of Relatable Finance Podcast and PWA, and not necessarily those of Raymond James. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. There is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecasts will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision. Does not constitute a recommendation. Investment involves risk, and you may incur a profit or loss regardless of strategy selected. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Investing involves risk, and investors may incur a profit or loss. Raymond James does not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Future investment performance cannot be guaranteed, and investment yields will fluctuate with market conditions. Any examples given in the podcast are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary.